You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run up in the hill country and let's check in with old Chris Crocker this morning, see what he's doing up there. Morning, Chris. What's going on, brother?
Oh, guys, we're just doing it again like always. A little deer hunting going on, a little dove hunting going on.
Right.
Kind of the same old, you know.
Well, cool.
Craig and Kitty are up. And,
yeah, I saw that picture. Kitty got her an 8-point, and Craig got him a hog bigger than he is. Man, that's a big old boar. That's a giant.
It's up big, and he's probably pushing a little over 200 pounds.
Yeah, that's a pig.
Yeah, little corn-fed piggy.
Yeah, a little nurtured boar.
You know, kind of doing the same thing we always do. You know, I think this is the fifth or sixth year that Craig and Kitty have been up. Kevin's up here. I think this is his sixth or seventh year. I think this is my 10th year doing the same thing. And, you know, it's just a really good, relaxed, and fun hunt up here. And kind of the transition zone between the hill country and the brush country. Had a really good big 8-point shot last week. Got from the guy that's the owner of Tidewater was deer with me, and shot a 145 and an 8-point.
That's a nice one,
dude. It was, you know that. And I told him when he shot it, I said, I don't think you understand what you got here. I said, people hunt their whole life in Texas and never shoot a deer over 125-130 inch. I said, you got a straight 8. At 145. I mean, it was a beautiful, beautiful deer.
I've been hunting all my life for a big, you know, mainframe 8, and just still don't have him. I've got a lot of other nice deer, but I just don't have that big 8 I want.
Man, I don't know if I sent you a picture of it or not. Let me see. I'll find it and shoot it to you, but just
you sent me a picture of that one.
It had 7-inch high guards. I mean, just a straight, pretty, great, beautiful deer. Mm. But other than that, you know, we're kind of doing the same thing we always do, you know. Here it is. I think I just sent it to you.
All right.
Beautiful deer. You know, other than that, it's kind of the same thing.
I'd have shot that deer, promise you.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful deer.
Good, mature deer, too, man. I'm looking at the wrinkles on his ear, and beautiful.
Look at the tines on that thing.
I know it. It's got some, man, them G2s are nasty. Well, look at the eye guards, the G1s. They're long, too.
You know, I hate talking to everybody on the radio because they can't see it, but maybe if they check it out on Facebook, they'll see what I'm talking about. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful deer.
Yeah, perfectly symmetrical, long tines.
Dude, if he turns sideways,
good mass,
and wipes out the other
side. Main beams are big and thick.
Yeah, yeah.
Good looking deer, man.
Yeah, the deer that Craig shot last night was really nice too. He's not a monster. He's probably, if I had to guess, and I'm a pretty good guesser, he's probably a 125, 126, 128 deer.
Right.
But you know, for a low fence deer. You know, free range, you never know what you're going to kind of see deer. There's a great one.
Sure. I forget the quote by Ted Nugent, but I forget how he puts it on, you know, shooting a deer.
He's got some good quotes. We got to be careful about what he's talking. So, you know, his place isn't that far from here. They've got a place up near the YO, and then he's got a place over near Waco as well. So, but you know, life is good. You know, boat sales are kind of a little slow and happening. You know, that stuff's going on. And of course, the deer hunting's been pretty good. And dove hunting's been off the hook right now. We got a little sesame field that's there east of Sabinal that's got a bunch of
birds. I was just fixing to ask you about your dove. You still got a lot of dove?
Yeah, dude, the sesame is just, it's, you know, that's dove crack. They can't, they can't leave it till it's gone, you know. It's been, you know, last week was really kind of a nasty weather event. You know, it was cloudy, foggy, misty, rotten every day. And this week it's been beautiful, clear, and dry. And, you know, it's been really good. Same old stuff, you know. Everybody wonders why I do it. If you come up here and do it, you'll know why. So,
yeah, South Texas loaded with the birds too, man.
We got a lot of quail up here right now as well. You know,
I'm hearing that from everybody. That's good.
I think I put 15 or 16 bags of corn out last week. You know, I've run the roads really good.
Right.
I'm trying to keep up with old Blaine being Corn Julio too. And
boy, you better get you some 18-wheelers to bring them sacks in there and dump them off for you, buddy, if you're going to hang with Blaine. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I've been putting anywhere from 100 to 125, 150 pounds a day out every day for the last 12, 13 days. And it makes a move, you know, get stuff up and get them going. And I was sitting yesterday evening over on a big field and had about, I don't know, probably close to 30 turkeys and all gobblers come in.
Awesome.
And they wiped that corn out in 10 minutes.
You know, them turkeys look like the Green Bay Packers coming down a Sendero on them. On that corn.
Dude, it was unbelievable. I'll send you a video. I took a video of them and, I mean, they didn't miss anything. They got every little speck.
Every kernel. There's nothing left. They're worse than javelina.
I mean, it was at least 30 in that group. And the day before, I was going up High Road, there was 16, 18 of them. And I mean, they're just little old vacuum feet. Ugly vacuum cleaners is the best way to call them.
Oh, Vaughn, my plumber buddy, God rest his soul. We used to go to his place up there. He was there between DeHaenas and Hondo, you know, up that way. And, man, it's Turkey Central. And I sit in the blind one morning. It looked like a marching band going across an oat patch out there. There had to be 200 turkeys just walking along. They were almost in formation.
They are thick as thieves up here right now. The spring season coming up at the end of April. We get some openings here still available on that, but it's on like Donkey Kong with these things up here in, you know, late April, early May.
Nasty.
Just a big old, you know, got a video the other day of a double bearded hen, and she was the rule of the roost of that thing. I mean, she was pushing everybody around. Yeah, I mean, just these are big old birds. I mean, these birds are probably pushing 18, 20 pounds.
Yeah, there's some big turkeys up your way. Giants.
Lots of nice deer, you know. We hadn't been covered up, but you know they're still chasing and rutting and pushing. And does, you know, we've seen a few does. Craig got him a nice doe yesterday evening, and Kitty's got one. Kevin's got a nice doe. We got another guy up here from Tidewater Boats that's pushing the oryx around. Hopefully he'll get one this morning or this afternoon.
Oh, he's hunting an oryx.
Yeah, dude. I don't know if y'all ever had one before, but that is some of the best meat on the ground.
I was going to ask you that. I heard they were good eating. And can you verify that for me? I heard they're good.
It's better than a nail guy and way better than a whitetail. And the axis ain't got nothing on it. They're really, really, really good to eat. I shot one last year. I shot a broke horn last year that was pushing 400 pounds. And I mean, that's why my freezer is still full this year.
Sounds like Craig and Kitty are fixing to fill several freezers up.
You know, they have a really good hunt every time they come. And for what these hunts cost, I mean, it's almost a no-brainer. You don't have to deal with filling feeders and messing with blinds and all that stuff.
Right.
you know, for less than $4,500, you get to shoot a buck, a couple of does, and pigs and predators. One of the guys missed a bobcat yesterday, and you know, it's just a fun hunt. You know, it's one of them get out of town, have a good time things.
Oh yeah, that's what it's all about. And I hadn't been anywhere in so long, I can't wait to go to South Texas. I'm going to leave Christmas and go down to Blaine's like I always do.
Yeah, like always, yeah.
Hang out with everybody. And that's the fun part to me. It's, you know, if I kill a deer, so be it. If not, it's not the end of the world.
You know what's nice is the cell phone don't work unless I want it to, and the TV ain't on unless we want it on. So it's
exactly.
It's like a whole different thing down here. When I get back to town, it's like, what happened? Who did what? You know, you don't know, which is really nice.
Yeah,
but,
yes.
You know, kind of the same old stuff. Christopher's got it going on at his place. They've got I think they've just about sold all their big white tails, and he's got some nail guy and some axis left over for the rest of the season. And
they killed anything good over there this year?
Yeah. You know, they popped a 218, 220 a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, he's got some big old, you know, they're feeding that double down over there.
Double down deer feed.
Yeah, I mean, some of those deer are pushing like 240, 250, 260, and just big old peanut fed fat boys, you know, good ones.
Yeah, those are high fence deer, right?
Yeah, they've got it high fenced over there to keep them in. And
where's he at?
It's just north of Brackettville.
Okay.
This is the fifth year, and this is the first year they've actually shot some, you know, they've been raising those whitetails now for 5 years. So I think they shot eight this year. And they've got red stag and nail guy and black buck and axes and all dads and a little bit of everything going on over there. And some really, really nice big stuff. And it's reasonable. You know, it's a great hunt for a fair price. And don't get me quoting what he's doing over there exactly, but, you know, that's why I can give him a call and find out. It's really reasonable, nice place. And he's got it going on. I'm proud of him. You know, it's amazing. My kid's 40. He's going to be 41 next month. So,
man, well, where mine's going
to
be 45 next year. So that's,
yeah. Man. I mean, it's like Mickey, what happens? You know,
I know, man.
They were pulling on our shirt tails long ago, and now they're grown men.
Yeah, kicking our butts.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to see it, though. Makes it easy on what we got to do sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they make it hard, so, you know, kind of.
Kids.
But other than that, man, we're doing the same old thing. You know, if somebody wants to try and get a hold of us about a dove hunt or a deer hunt or whatever, they can check us out at ccotexas.com or texasbestdovehunts.com or give Christopher a call at 512-587-3791, and we can fix him up one way or the other.
All right, brother. Well, Crocker, glad I got a hold of you this morning. Y'all have a good time.
Yeah, thanks for calling. I hadn't talked to you in a while.
I've been meaning to reach out to you and get to you, man. It's hard to work everybody in. There's a lot of things to see and places to go. Too much going on, man. Need to simplify things.
Absolutely. Man, right. Hey, everybody have a good Christmas. Hey, good luck on your hunt next week. And
thank you.
I'll be back in town on Tuesday, I guess it'll be. So.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you next year, buddy.
All right, brother.
All right. See you, man. All right. That's Chris Crocker up in the Hill Country. It's time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 519 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down G-Town way. Tiki Allen, check in with Captain Plog this morning. JP, what's going on, bud?
What's up, buddy?
Not a lot, dog. What are you up to?
Sitting there texting back and forth with Blaine. Instead of typing stuff, he's trying to talk into it.
Yeah, it doesn't spell right when he does that.
I told him, I said, dude, we're too old for that. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, he does the talking text thing.
I can't stand that. I watch my guys do that, talking to your old phone. I said, man, I don't know about all that. But I guess, but Blaine, it don't work for Blaine. I'm going to send you what he was sending me. Like, it's pretty funny. No, we called him yesterday. I got some guys I'm going to send down there with him. And
right.
I didn't get him. He was busy yesterday. I was just jacking with him this morning.
Right.
All nasty people like us, we can all talk to each other in the morning. People say, man, you never answer. You don't do this. I said, look, man, you want to talk to me? Call me between about 4 and 6. You can get me all the time.
That's it. That's the only time I can get you.
After that, I'm going to work, man. I'm done. And it's pretty nice this morning, though. It's calm.
Yeah, it's warming up. When I first got up, it was 49. Now it's 54.
Yeah, the tide kind of
man, it got cool yesterday morning. I got off the radio and I looked and it was 44. I'm going, man, it dropped just in those 2 hours.
Because I woke up on a couch, I guess Thursday night or morning, wherever you call that. And, buddy, it's about to blow this house down. And I'm like, man, this ain't going to be good. I said, well, you know, we're already set up to meet, whatever. So I just call him in the morning. Hey, man, I walk outside at 4 o'clock. It's like blowing to like 6 miles an hour.
Yeah, you gotta be dead calm.
And it went dead calm. And let me tell you something. I mean, we left in the dark. And, man, it wasn't bad. Hey, we start fishing. Man, my hands are cold. Rick said, my hands are cold, too. I had me some hand warmers. I forgot I had some in the deal, but man, we started catching them kind of in the dark, so then he kind of warmed up. Didn't matter, but yeah, that was a weird front. It come, Cap'n Ron say, it comes on you fast and leaves you fast.
Yeah, Cap'n Ron, remember that show? That was hilarious.
Oh man, Cameron's watched Cap'n Ron a million times.
Well, used cars was a funny one too, man. When he threw that $20 bill with a rod and reel across the car lot across the street and reeled that guy in and sold him a car, man.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Remember, we used to do that with kids, but or the billfold, somebody's old fake billfold or something. But yeah, it was pretty cool. But fishing's good, man. It was man. We didn't work that hard at it yesterday, and I went to places that I ain't never even been before, and I told Rick and them, I said, look, man, I don't know about this deal right here. I said, it's either good or it ain't no good. And then, sometimes if you don't go to your main spot and then the boats are around, you're kind of just hoes. But they fish with me so much. Man, we don't care. Let's go. And, man, the current was ripping so hard, Mickey. We were throwing – down current, and I'm like, man, you ain't got enough line on this reel to let it out for the lure to get to the bottom. But it was calm, and for some reason, I turned around, I threw behind the boat. I mean, because the anchor's out on that side.
Throw up current,
said, hey, man,
baby.
I said I had some kind of bite. I reel in, I throw back out there, and I catch a little bitty old red. Man, maybe there's a little old red, like about an 18-inch red. So they're still throwing that way because a little bit of wind. I mean, you're kind of having to throw into it, but there wasn't much of it. You know, get kind of feathered down in there. Next cast, I catch a trout. I say, hey, man, y'all better turn around throw over here. And at that time, the sun was starting to come, and it got just dead flat. And, buddy, we went to beating on them. We got pretty good. And we left. We just didn't stay there. We left and went to another place I've been fishing. And Hell, it was good too. We caught like 25. Rick said, "Man, let's go." We come in at like 9:30.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty good fishing.
Oh, you had to work hard yesterday, man. But anchor's hours.
Mickey, that's how it used to be. Trust me, I ain't had a whole bunch of them. We waited on, because Mike give 2 cents about fishing out of the boat. He said, "Man, don't take me boat fishing." I said, "Okay, we'll go do something else." Hell, I ain't been waiting. I ain't been waiting since I kind of messed my shoulder up. That wasn't too friendly. Big difference between waiting and sitting around in that boat.
Yeah.
And, man, it was actually good. We went through a lull. We caught some really good fish. I mean, maybe some threes. If you'd have been keeping stuff, we didn't keep nothing. If you'd want to keep them, they'd all been too big to keep. I'm not going to say over or under. They were nice trout. We wasn't keeping nothing anyway. I said, even if you wanted to keep them, you couldn't. Chris Jamail went with me. Mike came by himself. He said, "Man, bring Cameron and Kenny." And, well, Cameron's gone. He's working. Kenny's at the ranch. I just talked to Chris. "Hey, if you want to go with us in the morning, come on." So he went with us. And then it died, man. It got, man, like about 9 o'clock, it just faded, dude. You can't get nothing. And Mike, he likes hunting around. I said, "We're going to go do some hunting. I'm just going to wade some places I ain't never been." And that wasn't too good. But there wasn't none biting anyway, so it might be good anyway, but it wasn't none biting. So we went and got out on this other spot, a little old ridge by some deep water, little shell deal. And anyway, we ain't catching nothing. I waited the opposite way. I wanted to go fish this little break in this spoil bank. And, man, that tide, I look at it and it was like noontime. And I said, "Man, that water's starting to come through this cut here on this PVC pipe." Well, I turn around, walk back to the boat, and I walk back to the boat. I look down there, and Mike's got one. And I look down there, Chris has got one. So, okay, they walked into them. Hell, man, I got right behind the boat. I didn't fish with nothing but a lily all day, either sinking one or float one. I told Mike, I said, "That's all you're going to throw us, man. I don't care if I catch anything. Y'all catch them." And plus, my arm hurts. I don't feel like doing all that other stuff. And, dude, I went to stand about a boat, and I ain't even on nothing, and I'm catching them.
Yeah.
And it got pretty good. I mean, it was, because it didn't look like anything was there, man. You see a few mullet flip, you know how it looks, like, man. And it's not a big place. Either there, they're not. But, man, they were strung out down there for 250 yards, fish were. Chris caught one almost 5 pounds. He said, "Man, I want to call him 5". He said he wasn't. He said probably 4¾. But a bunch of nice fish.
Yeah, that's good. Awesome.
No, it was – hell, I ain't been there, and I ain't been over there where I went, like, 3 weeks. I didn't know if it was any good. But Mike don't care. He said, "Just don't take me boat fishing." I said, "Okay, we'll go do something else." So I think the water, Mickey, was 58 when I started. And, mm-hmm. and then it was, man, we fished till like 3 o'clock. It was like 63 when I came in.
Right.
It warmed up pretty good. Yesterday, the water was down about 56, I think. I don't think I saw 57, maybe coming in.
Yeah, I'm looking at Morgan's Point's 58.6, Eagle Point's 58.5 this morning.
Okay, then it was 56 yesterday. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, but you're supposed to be catching them this time of year. And what I like, because I talked to Hillman, you know, everybody's catching them everywhere. I mean, just like that deal I did, I ain't been on this place in 3 weeks, and it's – you know, it's good fishing. You know, and we probably caught, we caught 29. We were trying to catch 30, and we caught 29. That's pretty good for three guys fishing, and I didn't put a tail on. If I put a tail on there, we catch 40.
Yeah, you get, yeah, true.
You know, but who cares? And yesterday, if we wanted to just keep beating stuff up, you know, we'd have caught 40. And not very hard, you know. But we weren't killing nothing, but I'm sitting, you think about it, I got Rick and Tony. In the old days, that'd have been 20 fish in the box, and we probably would have went red fishing or went in or something.
Right.
That's kind of what we did. I said, "Hey, just think about it. We want to keep," and I thought about that. We'd have had 20 dead trout in there. That's a lot, you know, back when it was 10.
It is now that we've gotten ruined with this three fish deal.
Right, right. I think five is a good number for everything, Mickey. Five of anything you want to get. Get five hardheads, five mackerel, whatever you want. But, you know, my guy, and he's right about this. So, hey, man, if we split a trip, you got three dudes, and they split the trip, which I don't have much of that, but some people do, and you all catch your three fish. Okay, dude, there's your three. And if you got a couple of kids at home, maybe Granny or Uncle Eddie that lives at home with you or something.
Uncle Eddie. Christmas vacation, man. That's the first thing I thought of when you said Uncle Eddie.
Yeah, that's where I got that from. But
Randy Quaid. I mean, Randy.
Randy Quaid. You better have you some tater tots because you ain't going to have enough fish.
Bunch of hush puppies. You better have all of it.
You better, man. And if you have five, now that'll feed you and your family, maybe a couple of pieces left over. But three, you better go con your buddy in over there and see if he'll give you a couple of fillets.
Hey, remember all the flack Everett caught when he was promoting that Just Keep Five, had them stickers made and all that, and all the hell he was catching over that. And, well, I wish we could just keep five now.
Man, hey, we need to bring those stickers back now.
We need to bring them back. Just keep five, man.
Just keep five. You know, you could probably go to work on promoting that like Everett did. This is for another reason. Of course, it was 10. He wanted it to be 5. Now it's 3. Want it to be 5. You'd get the same stickers back out and do it over again.
Yeah.
But my guys ask me all the time, are they ever going to, oh, it's coming back to 5. It'll go back to 5. I said, man, let me tell you something. If it does anything,
it'll go down.
It'll go down. You'll be catching none, or you'll have closed seasons. That's what you're going to have. You'll never see no five fish again.
No.
Never. Ain't happening. Ain't coming.
Drop it, they never give it back.
And here's what they want to tell you. They tell you, well, you know, we tried to give y'all a redfish back. Like, they own it. Like, hey, man, you be real nice, I'll give you some candy.
Yeah, they claim all these surveys they sent out, and everybody said, no, we're satisfied with three reds. I never got a survey.
I never got no survey.
I don't know anybody that did.
You know. I exclude the game wardens from this statement because those guys, they're the real deal. They're on the line. Actual TPNW, actual appointed commissioners, and maybe not the little knuckleheads that do the net. They don't do nothing. I could care less about TPNW. Like you own this, and you're going to give me some. You don't own nothing. You're just a steward, and y'all want to act like you're the greatest people on the planet, and all we do is get less fish. So what are y'all doing? I mean, right. Kind of like a weatherman, but whatever. You don't ever have to be right. You just put it out there.
All right, let me jump to this break, and I'll come back at you. Hang on a second, man. All right, you're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show. It's 5:36. All right, James. Back at it.
Yeah,
boy,
that deal.
Oklahoma laid an egg last night. Did you watch that game?
Yeah, but I finally fell asleep because I wasn't gambling on it. Cameron said, what do you think? I said, man, I ain't touching this one. I got one today, the only one I like. Man, I like Alabama. And then it's like 70.
Yeah, but Alabama, they make their living off of turnovers and other teams' mistakes, and that's exactly what Oklahoma did. They had them down 17-0.
It was 17-0.
That
kid intercepted that pass. It was like 2 minutes ago before half. And I think they had kicked they scored. And I think they may have been, they tied up at half, or was it 17-10?
I think it was.
Whatever.
17-10, I don't remember. I just, you know,
But stupid Alabama, mistakes,
stupid penalties, turnovers. You know, they just gave it to them.
Well, but Alabama's got more talent. They really do. They should have won. Hey, if DeBoer wouldn't have won, I think he was gone. I think he was going to Michigan.
Yeah,
that's what I. But anyway, yeah. Hey, what I was going to tell you that because the only reason I know this ain't be Mr. Know-It-All, but because I fished that West End tournament, you can't. Now this particular
I think
West
Charlie meant spectacular is what he meant.
It's the spectacular. You can go
they
anywhere.
Can go
you
anywhere.
Want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, and if you looked at the weights, they suck. What didn't touch that West End tournament. And that goes to show you what we were talking about, those tournaments. You know, that fight on that West End tournament that Cameron and I fished in, it was on the front of that moon. And that was as good a time as you was going to get. When that nasty spectacular come around, you got on the back of that moon. And I think I saw something, Mickey, and I could be wrong, but I think first place was like 1391.
Yeah.
So, pretty big difference from them weights ahead. But, no, that kid caught that fish on the West End, that 708.
Yeah.
Taylor knows who too. It is. It's a friend of Taylor's. Taylor's told me. But, yeah the spec, because me and Cameron looked at it because there was something I wanted to do, but it was out of the boundaries. I said, well, that ain't going to work. but, anyway, it don't matter. But, no, those fish were caught in Galveston. Matter of fact, I talked to some guys that went to Matagorda, and it's the same old deal. Pre-fishing, they whacked them. They had like 15, 16 pounds or whatever, and they went back on their old fish the next day, and it was terrible. I don't even think the fishing was any good, much less catching big ones. I think the fishing sucked. It's hard to do that 2 days in a row, buddy. You know that from your tournament day. That's tough.
It is.
It's tough to do.
I mean,
and you can't be moving
trips, if I smoked the big ones in one spot one day, I wouldn't even go back there the next day. They fed out, they're full, and I'd go try something else.
You got to.
If you got a spot and them fish really light off one day, you go back the next day and you're going, man, where'd all the fish go? They're full. They fed out yesterday. Better
they
go find something else.
You're exactly right. You know, I would been going through the well a little too much where I've been fishing. And I could just tell, I'm like, man, you know, it ain't that we're catching them. I could just see it fading. I told you about that guy, Jim, that caught all them fish that day and I couldn't catch nothing. But in my mind, I said, man, if there was a bunch of them here, you'd be an idiot and don't even know where your bait is and you'll catch them. And when I couldn't catch them and he was, I'm like, okay, they're still here, but there's no numbers like what I was catching.
Yeah, they're finicky, lethargic.
And then I moved outside, and I started catching a few fish out there where I wasn't catching any. I said, man, these fish are moving. And then I ain't been back. I didn't go back. I went totally somewhere else yesterday, off the wall, and pretty much got lucky. One place I fished, but I hadn't been fishing there. And then this other place I went to, I ain't never been there in my life. I didn't even know what it was. It was terrible. Yeah, when I tell you where I was at this afternoon, you'll laugh at me. And I'm like, well, whatever.
What'd you get, a hot tip or what? You're just off the wall or what?
No, it's a hot tip from my son.
Okay.
I just leave it at that.
Hot tip.
I'm like, okay, dude.
Got a bird nest on the ground for you, James. Come get some.
Hey, but I always give credit where credit's due, and I called him, and I said, good job, buddy. I appreciate it. That's like people said, oh, you know, I've been fishing out here for 3 weeks. I said, well, dude, I come every day. Unless you're invisible and you come in the middle of the night, I hadn't seen you. So why does everybody got to tell me I've been fishing here when I ain't seen you?
I know.
I come every day.
I used to get that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been over there. Well, what are you coming in? An invisible boat?
I know.
But, yeah, Mickey Fishing's been
– first liar doesn't have a chance anymore.
He don't. Normally I don't care, and I don't anymore. But somebody said something to me the other day about, yeah, so-and-so. I said, no. So-and-so ain't been anywhere. Let me tell you how it went down. So here's the real story. People don't like the real story. They like fairy tales.
Yeah.
Fairy tale flats.
Remember Mike Williams? He had fairy tale flats. El Dorado flats.
But that pink flamingo has been probably the best, Mickey, but that's what I'm throwing. I'll tell you what Rick put on yesterday, a common bait, and I don't even carry them. I don't have them.
What?
I can get thousands of them. Is a regular glow with old school glow with a chartreuse tail.
Yeah.
He said, what about this? I said, well, whatever. You know, this paint's been pretty good. And
hell, that's all Bill Watkins has been throwing at Sabine all year, is in, you know, that night glow with a chartreuse tail. They've been nuking them on it all year long over there.
That's what this is, Mickey, saying. I don't even have any. I don't like them because everybody's got them, but I don't
Well,
have
it looks
any,
bone, you know.
Yeah, I need
it
to.
It does glow in the dark, but we don't fish at dark. I'm fishing
now, you
daytime.
Get that, you get that little John right there with that little chartreuse tail on it, that little glow one, it'd probably light them up. And I'm fishing a lot of current stuff, so some days a shad tail's better when I'm fishing where there ain't no current.
Yeah. Now, that's a good thing about the Little John. You fish in those current areas where you got little funnels where that current runs stronger. That Little John gets down for you.
It gets down, man. And yesterday, I kept bumping the bottom a little bit. Hey, the current was so bad, we got like 4 or 5 jig heads on my anchor line because I'm throwing, you know, backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Tony said, I got one. I said, no, Tony, you got the anchor. And Tony got the anchor again. And I'm jacking with him. Hell, I got the anchor. I caught my own anchor. I said, oh, man. It was like a Christmas tree when I picked that anchor line up. But, you know, even on the Lilies, Mickey, I was getting them on a regular one, a float Lily. But it
right.
was a weird bite. They were missing it. I hooked a really good fish that come off. I mean, it was like a real one, maybe a 5-pounder. And then I caught one I was just reeling in, just fixing the cast.
Right.
He got it harmonic. So I caught 2 or 3 or whatever, and they were catching them on tails. Well, when we got back out the next time that current started running, I said, man, I'm going to put a sinking one on. And, man, that was the ticket. And you let it get down a little bit and then just almost start reading it like a mirror lure, and they would take it away from you. You know, not really stop.
Yeah, I've seen them do that before when they didn't want all the jigging and stopping and starting. You just reel it straight in, and they just jump all over it.
Well, dude, they were jumping
so good
on
when you're reeling it. You know, it's got such a natural action to it.
Yeah, you know, it runs straight. You know, it don't do anything. It runs like a mirror lure.
Right.
And so that's how I
but
ended up catching
But it shimmies. You know, it'll shimmy.
It's got a little catch 5, kind of a little shimmy to it when
yeah.
you reel it in. But I'll watch it. One fish eat it. He kept coming at me. The fish eats it. I get tight, and I watch him. He just keeps swimming at me. Never stopped. Then he come up. And that little thing was a harmonic in his mouth. Well, that's pretty cool. But that was the first day in a long time that's the only I put those two lures on. The floating one, the same color, that white one with that pink little chartreuse I like.
Uh-huh.
I threw the floater and the sinker. I never put another bait on all day.
Harmonic
now,
mouth. Man, I love it when they're eating hard baits and they did harmonic mouth. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's what's fun. You know, we catch...
Man, we fish with tails all year long. That's why I love going to hard baits and, you know, corkies and stuff like that and get away from all that soft plastic crap.
You know, when my guys are catching them, I don't care if I catch anything. I mean, I don't. I mean, I always put something different on.
Now, that's a damn lie. I'm going to holler a calf rope on that one. You don't like getting beat. You like catching them. I've been in a boat with you. Fished with you too many times.
Well, it's got to be pretty good for him to make me put a tail on. But, you know, in the middle of all them fish, when we were catching them good, you know why I was fishing, where we were catching them good, I mean, like catching 50 a day.
Right.
And it's a perfect Lily setup. Perfect. And in the middle of all them fish, I put one on. I mean, I'm talking about like some time, you know, 15, 20, 25 minutes, maybe 30.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get a touch, dude. I said, I can't believe they won't eat this Lily. Put that flamingo flash on, kind of let it get down and just roll it straight back. You just feel them just stopping. I said, I can't believe they won't hit a Lily. But they wouldn't, not in there. Then my guy put one on David Carroll. He said, I'm not a Lily, it's David. I've been throwing, not David, who was it, Keystone. I've been throwing them ones in here, they don't eat them. He puts it on, beats it up. Then we all got caught up in the trolling motor. and because it's dark, and then it's floating around. Luckily, it was a floater. I got it. It came by the boat. But I said, they just ain't eating them in here, man. They're not. Which is weird. You know, it's a perfect lily setup. Cold water, deep water, you know. Don't crush it. But no nibbles.
Well,
no nibs.
It's always fun, Plog. That's,
all right, hey, well, I'm gonna probably run into you because I'm leaving the same time you are, so I'll probably hit you on the highway somewhere.
All right.
I'll meet you somewhere.
We'll pull over and get some coffee and lie to each other. After we've done that.
Well, what time you going to leave?
I don't know. Between 10 and noon. Just whenever, I get her all wrapped up around here and get on with it.
Yeah, we're leaving the same time.
Okay, well, I'll call you.
Yeah, call me on the way. Well, thanks
right,
for everything.
Dog.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
You have a Merry Christmas and a happy birthday and all that good stuff.
Hey, just remember, man, Jesus is the reason, and God bless everybody, man. And
you got it, dog. Throw them out a number, Plog. Somebody can go to the bottom with you.
Yes, sir. 409-771-7306. And I am actually have a calendar, and I actually am taking some bookings for wade fishing this winter if anybody wants to go.
All right, buddy. Oh, harmonica mouth. I'll see you later. All right, that's James Plog. On one side of the bridge, now we're going to jump the bridge and go over to Offutt's Bayou and check in with old Sharky Marquez, see how he's out from under the weather this morning. Sharky, good morning. What's up, bud?
What's up, buddy?
Man, not a lot. How you doing?
Man, I'm feeling a little bit better. I was sick on Thursday and then fished all day yesterday. And then today I'm on land from today. I'm on land. My guys are all fishing. It's odd that I got a Saturday off the water, but I'm going to make some good use of it and get some stuff done from the shore.
I told Jace to go ahead and call you. I texted you earlier, said you well yet, and I never to get a reply. I said, call him anyway.
No, it's all good, Mickey. It's all good. I'm glad to link up with you, man. We've had a pretty stellar week of fishing, man. It's a stellar week. I mean,
tell me about the flounder, man. Y'all pounding on them?
You know, we have been. First couple days, you got to, you know, I don't mind telling everybody my secrets, but basically, you know, the first couple days we're sitting in there with 30 people, 20 people all around us, and, you know, just every place in the whole harbor there. You know, everybody's stacked, and we're catching them on shrimp. You know, to be honest with you, we're throwing a tandem rig or shrimp, but we're catching them primarily on shrimp. And I ain't caught a fish one on a mullet, on a finger mullet or a mud minnow. Not to say
that
other people aren't, but yeah, I mean, and we're sitting there with, like, I don't know, 20, 30 boats around us, you know, and pitching up into there. And, you know, people are catching some fish, but, man, you put that shrimp in the water, I'm telling you, there is some, when they're not feeding, you know, and they don't want nothing, they still can't turn down the shrimp.
No. I hadn't met anyone or any fish that'll turn down a live shrimp. Never.
Yeah. So we've been zoning in and really doing good. And you know, it's flounder is incredible because, you know, you just got to be there when they're hungry, you know, and you can catch them you could catch a few of them here and there, but it's insane, to see when they actually turn on or that tide moves or whatever. And and they say, hey, I'm ready to eat. How many you can catch so quickly, you know?
Yep.
And those fish are there too, buddy. I mean, it's they just got to want to eat, you know.
The ones y'all are cleaning, any of them have eggs in them still?
Yeah, a few of them. Few of them. Yes, sir.
That's what I've been seeing too. Hadn't even squirted yet.
Mm-hmm. But that, you know, yesterday I was really thinking the bite was going to be on for the flatfish because we had that cold front come in the night before. Mm-hmm. And we caught a few. I think we ended up with five or six of them in the morning. But man, the jetties has been hot, buddy. So we caught a few flounder and realized real quick that we were going to be grinding out, you know, the whole trip to try to keep on stacking them. And once that bite slowed down, I said, all right, guys, like,
time to go.
Yeah, let's go catch some fish, man. And I've been catching a ton of slot redfish out there, so that's been great. And we sent it out there, and man, we caught all kinds of great stuff. So, yeah, putting some really nice box together, you know, big variety packs for December. I've been real happy with it. I've been real happy with the variety, you know, that we're coming in with, and so I don't know. We'll see how the guys do out there today, but I'm sure. I mean, there's a lot of fish to be caught, you know.
Well, that's good. A lot of slot reds, man. Where were those hiding all year long?
I know, and we've been catching more of them guys this week.
Well,
the same way up
here in my backyard. I mean, you know, a lot of slot reds being caught, and then all year we were all complaining because they were either undersized or oversized.
Yeah, I know.
Now there's tons of slots everywhere. It's crazy how they just they're like ghosts,
insane.
Man.
Insane for December, man. Insane for December. I don't know. We'll take it though.
It's a good month. That's why I'm.
Yeah,
December's always been one of my favorite months, man. You know, if you get the
weather, when it's cold, buddy, like we've had, it's cold.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's been even with these little cold fronts and stuff. 1 or 2 days later, it's back into 60s, 70s, and that water temperature is, you know, it's right for all the stuff to be here. You know, shit, we've been catching wintertime trout and all kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, it's been great. It's been great. So, anyway. We'll see. One of these days before flounder season's over, before snapper season's over, I got to go and do the snapper and the flounder thing together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't had the opportunity yet, but I'm promise you the first flat day, we're going to try to go hammer them both.
Well, good.
I had one trip like that last year that was so much fun, man. So much fun, but
well, everybody needs to get their licks in on them snaps, man, before the first of the year.
It's coming soon. It's coming real soon.
It's right around the corner. Well, Sharky,
that's it.
I wish you and your family and all your loved ones a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and all that good stuff. And
thank you so much, Mickey.
I'll be talking to you in 2026. I'm gonna light out of here. I'm going hunting.
Come on.
I'm gone.
Brother, be safe. God bless you, man, and be safe on your trip. And
I will.
Man, it's been a pleasure, brother. It's been a fun year talking to you.
It's been a good year for everybody, man.
That's right, man. Y'all be super safe, and everybody listening, be safe. You know, safe traveling these holiday seasons, and man, looking forward to having a great year next year with you guys. So
we're going to be here. All right, man. We'll come out. Some info, somebody wants to reach out, come on down to G-Town.
Absolutely. Flounder's on fire. You know, we're catching a ton of different fish. We'd love to have you guys. It's a great time of year to come out. Hop on our website. It's outcastfishing.com, or you can just Google us at Outcast Charters Galveston. We'll pop right up. We would love to have you guys, and come hang out at the lodge with us at Bayside Lodge. And man, you can make the whole week out of it, a whole day out of it.
All right, buddy. Sharky, have a good one. Always a pleasure.
Hey, man. Good talking to you, Mickey. God bless, brother.
All right. Top of the hour coming up. National Anthem, all that good stuff. And after that, we'll hook up with Captain Cliff Webb. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.